Today I want to talk to you a little bit about the other side of the cross. Hebrews 10 would be our scripture. We'll start reading with verse 5 through 10 and then jumping over to verse 14. Therefore, when he came into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. After saying the above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Then in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. I'd like to take a glimpse back just to look at the priest and the tabernacle. And in the old days, the tabernacle, we had the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. Now in those places, the way that it was transpiring in those days is the outer court is where cleansing and sacrifice and all that began to happen in the outer court. And then there had to be the priestly confession of my sins. And then to enter into the Holy of Holies. Stories were told about ropes being put about priests' legs, and that's not really fact. It became a fiction. Because what happened is the bells were around the priest's garment, so as he walked, the people could hear that the priest was still alive. But imagine this, in all time, that what happens only once a year. Some of us can't stand a week carrying this stuff on us before we go before the Father. But here they were required only once a year. Then they brought all their confessions, all their sins, and we hope the priest made it through to the Holy of Holies. Because that's where God dwelt. That's where the answer came. That's where our lives were turned around and all of a sudden the people could say, I'm forgiven. And then another year. But see, the scripture tells us here that what happened that Jesus, when he was crucified on the cross, he settled it once and for all. No more do we have to continually go back, bring the goats and the lambs to be able to sacrifice them and wait another year. Because the word tells us he settled it once and for all. He settled it once and for all. Let's give him praise. Give him praise for what he's done. You see, in this process, God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit has been here for all eternity. From the beginning of time, and he'll be here for all eternity. You see, God had a plan. He sent Jesus. When Jesus came, you can remember that. He ran around and played as a kid. He even had dirty diapers, believe it or not. He played along the way as his parents were traveling. And that was pretty much tradition. And they looked around one day and they said, "Where's Jesus?" Where they found him was in the temple. And they said, "Didn't you know I should be about my Father's business?" But everywhere he went, he loved. He worked as a carpenter. He played. God invested in Jesus. And I say to you today that Jesus invested in us. He invested in us. He taught. He preached. He said what the kingdom of God looked like and how we should be living. He was hated. He was rejected. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. And he rose again victoriously. I want you to understand this morning that Jesus didn't go to the cross. He went through the cross. If he only went to the cross, he would still be nailed there. But I assure you that there is more on the other side of the cross because of what he did than was on this side of the cross. Because God intentionally sent Jesus to do something for us. And when he did that, he was already seeing not the cross, but on the other side of the cross, what he has intended for every single one of us. You see, as we look at the cross, you can see three crosses on Golgotha. One cross, you can see a thief. Another cross, you can see another thief. One thief said, Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." They were both there for their sin. Jesus was there for our sin. And beyond that, he was there for all of our victory. I want you to understand today that Jesus came out on the other side. He didn't stay nailed to the cross. In those moments when he was on the cross, you could hear him crying out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus knew the things that he would face for every one of us. But he said, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, I want to do your will." Can you imagine praying, flashing before you, very eyes, all the things that he would face? Maybe he saw your face. Maybe he saw my face. But I know that he willingly went to the cross for all of us. In that, Satan became defeated. Jesus was victorious. The scriptures tells us that God the Father was glorified in the cross. You see, on the cross, Jesus was saying, as in John 10:10, "I came that you can have life, and that you can have it in more abundance." Beyond that, in John 6:63b, he said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, they're life." In the Greek, there's a word that is zoe, and the zoe word means that's life, that flows out from the Father to you and brings you life that is God-breathed and God-given. And as that flows out to us, and as even as he was crying out, "It is finished," he was saying that you can have life. And you can have it in more abundance. You see, when he said it was finished, the veil, we talked about the Holy of Holies. From the holy place to the most holy place, there was separation of a veil. And if you study historically, it was a very thick veil that you can't rip easily. But the Word tells us that when he said that it was finished from the top to the bottom, the veil was rent, is what the Word says, in two. Now before, the only person that could go into the holy place was a priest. He would enter in, and we hoped his bells kept ringing. But I want to assure you today that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King Jesus, when that was rent in two, that he gave every one of us right of access to the kingdom of God, gave us right of access to him, and he hears our voice, he answers our prayers, and causes us to move and have our being. See, when he said it is finished, he said something else too. He says it started. Let's just take a moment right now. Would you pray this prayer with me all across the auditorium? Father, thank you for sending Jesus. He died for me. And today I confess that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus in every area of my life. Thank you that I am redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Satan cannot hold a charge against me and make it stick because I am a child of God. And I will live for him and do his will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. That may have been the first time you've ever prayed that prayer. It may be the 20th time. But I assure you, when you pray that prayer, you are forgiven. You are released. You are restored. You are blessed. You're gifted. You have new life. You are released into the greatness that God has already planned for you. Ephesians 2:18 tells us that we have direct access now to God. You see, what begins to happen is Jesus, because he invested so much into us, he went, died, came through the cross, ascended into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Ephesians 4:8 says, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, women, children, boys, girls. Now, can you picture this in your mind? The Word says that when he had completed his works, he sat down and sent gifts. All of us are gifted with what God's given us. Stephen, The word tells us even as he was being stoned. I don't know if you've ever seen this picture or not, but he was being stoned. And it says in the scriptures that he looked up into heaven. And he saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Now, I want to ask you this question this morning because he has given gifts to us individually, and there are 9 spiritual gifts. And if you weren't at Pastor Carolyn's class, you missed it. And beyond that, he gave individual gifts, and then he gave the 5 gifts to the church, which is the offices of ministry in the church to equip the saints. But when Stephen looked up and he was being stoned, he saw Jesus standing up. That caused Jesus to say, he's my man. He's doing some stuff that makes me proud. I say to you today, what are you doing in your life that would cause Jesus to get up where he is seated and stand up? Because unless we're moving the heart of God, what we're doing has no essence or benefit in this life. Because God called us, he's equipped us, and he's gifted us. You see, we have to start someplace. You may have started on your path and all of a sudden you stopped. I believe in every one of us, there is an excitement that God wants to release into us to get us past where we are. I used to see it in this church where people would gather together and they would talk about the goodness of God, what God did in their life this week, what God is going to do in their life next week. Somewhere along the way, we lost our zeal for that. And I'm saying to you today, God is wanting to release that again, afresh and anew in the church. He wants us to arise to a new level and to a new place. You see, you may have been hiding. Just don't want anybody to know what you have or how you're gifted. But God wants you. God needs you. This church needs you. Sinners need you. Could be much like a little boy. The boss was calling one of his employees. He dialed the employee's home and he said, was trying to get a hold of his worker. Telephone rang and the little boy answered. Soft voice, the boy said, "Hello?" The employer began to say, "Is your father there?" "Yes." "Well, I want to talk to him. Can I talk to him?" "No." Wanting to talk to an adult, the boss wanted on to say, "Is your mommy there?" "Yes." "Well, can I talk to your mommy?" "No." Knowing that it was not likely that a young child would be left home alone, the boss decided to leave a message with the person who would be there watching them. So he said, is somebody else there with you? Yes. Well, who's there with you? The policeman. Wondering what a cop would be doing at this employee's home, the boss asks, may I speak with the policeman? No, he's busy. Busy doing what? Asked the boss. Talking to daddy and mommy. And the fireman, came the whispered answer. Growing concerned and even worried as he heard what sounded like a helicopter. Through the earpiece and the phone, the boss asked, what is that noise? The little boy said, it's a helicopter. A helicopter? What's going on there? He's really alarmed. An awed, whispering voice, the child answered, the search team just landed the helicopter. Alarmed, concerned, and more than just a little frustrated, the boss asked, why are they there? Still whispering, the young voice replied, along with a muffled giggle, they're looking for me. Truth is, God is searching for me. Too many times we may be hiding, police may be there, helicopter may be flying overhead, but we're hid away from God. I assure you today that God is looking for you. God is looking for your gifts, your anointing, and everything that you have. It is time for those things to no longer remain dormant and lie down there, but it's time for them to arise to a new level and rise up in you big, because our God is a big God. It's time for people walking into the church, not having to walk in sick and walk out not still sick. The Word says that we'll lay the hands on the sick and they will recover. The Word says that we'll turn this thing around if only we will begin to obey Him and trust Him and believe His Word for what He said. The Word that I read tells us, and even the one that we read this morning, tells us that He has already gifted and anointed and placed them in us. All we've got to do is begin to use them. The devil has come against us and he's told us lies like, you're stuck, you can't do that. What if you lay hands on them and they die? So what? They're in heaven. At least you obeyed God. But I tell you that we are the seeding grounds in this church for the miracle hand of God to begin to work like He's never worked before. He's looking for people that would just take a stand and begin to say, God, I just take You at Your word, and I know that You're going to say and do what You said You're going to do, because we want it to come, and we want it to come live in our lives and in our church. I say to you today, you are released to do the works of God. You are released to do the works of God. Doesn't matter where you go. We can start right here in this church. You can start at the gas pump when you're pumping your gas. You know, that gas pump will actually pump by itself. And you can actually pray for somebody while your gas is pumping at the same time. Your voice is needed in this house. Your hands is needed in this house. Your anointing is needed in this house. Your gifts are needed. All of us are not getting younger. But I assure you this, the Bible never said because you're old, you can't do. The Bible never said because you're young, you can't do. I was so happy today when we walked in, you look around, you see the young people who are ushering. You see gifts are being raised up within the church and they're beginning to do the works of service that God's called them to do. I look for the time that the kids would come up front, pray for the adults, and they'd be slain in the spirit all over the house. He didn't say they couldn't do that. He said, you'll see signs and wonders because they believe. And if we believe that God is in this house, and He was today and He still is, He's going to come on the scene in unprecedented ways, and we're going to begin to see things begin to happen. John 9:4 says, we must work for Him who sent us. You see, I believe that God's purpose in coming was not just to save us. That was one of them. But you see, when Jesus sat down, and John, it declares, he says, greater works will you do than I did, because I ascend to the Father. To me, that's a passing of the mantle. He said, I was doing this. Now the veil is rent in two. You have direct access. And now I equip and give you the mantle to do greater works because I am seated. I want Jesus to stand up for what we're doing at Shiloh. I want Him to look down and see that there's miracles happening in here. That people in this house are determined to begin to do what God's called them to do and be released into their giftings and anointings and their cause. I believe that in this house that there are young people that are going to be the fivefold ministers of the house, that are going to begin to prophesy, that are going to begin to lay hands on people, and miracles will happen in the house. People will be coming into the kingdom of God because they are released, beginning to do something that they've never done before. Because this is a kingdom of God. This is where God reigns and rules and lives and dwells. But we got to believe that He is the King. You see, the other side of the cross, it begins to release us. I said some time back about when we get God really in us, we will do stuff that looks stupid. You're not going to care anymore what somebody besides you thinks about you. You're going to care what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords thinks about you. You'll begin to dance in the aisle and lay hands on people and see the miracles begin to happen because you're not afraid they're not going to hear what you've got to say because the King is on your side. When you go through the other side of the, get to the other side of the cross, that's where you're equipped. The other side of the cross, not on this side, on the other side, Jesus has already sustained you. Hear me. Jesus has already sustained you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He's already laid his life down, paid the price, so that you can be sustained through all of your difficulties. If for one moment in the church, we could get our eyes off of our own circumstances and allow Jesus to step in, I tell you, things would be different in your own life. Because all of a sudden, he's going to step in your behalf. The other thing we find out is their problems are bigger than ours, usually. I believe that Jesus came to release us so that there could be an earth-shaking revival. Start right in this church. Spread right into your home. Throughout the city. Stories told about a guy that went to church one day. He was standing outside this building and the church was on fire. Elder that had been in church for about 50 years says, "Well, never seen you here before." He said, "Well, truth is, never seen the church on fire." Until there is a fire burning in the church, I'm telling you, when we get on fire with the Spirit of God, the church gets on fire with the Spirit of God, we're not going to have to worry about empty seats. We're not going to have to worry about empty parking places. We're going to be worrying about how do we minister to them. And that's why the Lord has placed this on me, because I believe there's a preparation that we need to be doing now, because even as Pastor Joseph has prayed, the great harvest is coming. What if it happened today? We're not ready. But as we're released into our anointings and giftings, guess what? We're ready. So as you begin to say yes today to the will of God, then what's going to begin to happen? You're going to be released into all that God has for you. Can we stand together this morning?